Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I'm not giving Will a reading this morning because I've only got little snippets of verses. If you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll know where I'm going to straight away. My Bible, it's headed up the institution of the Lord's Supper. Praise God. Just want to read a few verses here. Starting at verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And it says this: "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner," in other words, after he had given thanks, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Verse 24, it says, "When he had given thanks." What do we think he gave thanks about this morning? Throw the question out to you. You don't need to answer it verbally. But in your heart this morning, who did he thank? Well, it's obviously he thanked his Father. "Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing me this far. Thank you, Father, for the hard days that are lie ahead. I thank you, you're going to be there every minute of every day for me. I give you thanks for this bread and this wine. My body and my blood shed and broken." Some versions don't say broken. I like the word broken. Yes, none of his bones are broken, but his body was marred beyond that of any other man. That's what scripture says. You know, if you have a spear stuck through your side, your body's broken. And his body was broken for us. And Jesus knew all this was going to happen. He took the bread and he gave thanks. And from this Greek word, Eucharist, Eucharistio, this is where the church has got, some people call it the Eucharist, the Catholic Church, other churches call it the Eucharist. We call it the Lord's Supper. We're remembering what Jesus did. The word Eucharist, Eucharisto in Greek, it means to give freely, to be grateful, to express gratitude, and to be thankful. So when Jesus gave thanks, and this is where the word Eucharist comes from, the words "give thanks," the phrase "give thanks." When Jesus gave thanks, he himself was about to be given freely for you and for me. He was grateful to his Father for just walking with him as he ministered and touched the lives of so many people. He expressed gratitude to the Father for his keeping power, how he could keep going and moving in spite of all the opposition that was coming against him from the religious leaders of the day. He was thankful to his Father for what his Father had done. And here he is, simply breaking bread, saying, "This is my body, broken for you." They didn't realize, the disciples, that exactly what it really meant. They were to find out in a few days. "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for many, for everyone, in all time, until he comes again. The blood will continually be shed." In the New Testament, give thanks is mentioned 39 times. 11 of those times is mentioned with reference to the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. 28 times it describes the praise words given to the Godhead, to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. You know, when something is in Scripture 39 times, I think it's trying to tell us something. Trying to tell us, the church, we need to be giving thanks. We need to be giving thanks. Yeah, we've got all sorts of things coming at us from all different directions, but we need to learn how to give thanks. Just like Jesus did. What an example he was to us. Jesus gave thanks to the Father in all of his circumstances, in all of his situations. This should be such a wonderful example to us as his church. Three circumstances this morning I want to just very briefly look at. The first is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. If you want to follow me or just listen, just whatever's easiest to you. I'm not going to give points and take away points if you don't look in your Bibles. But I just thought these are wonderful examples of how Jesus and the situations and circumstances that Jesus gave thanks in. Mark 14, 22 and 23. And again, this is again the same thing as we just read in 1 Corinthians. Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out onto the Mount of Olives. And that's where he was taken and later took to be crucified. Over a simple meal, a simple supper together with his disciples, Jesus gave thanks. Just before he was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane by the Roman soldiers, and the religious leaders who came to take him away, just before that he did this and he gave thanks, and he knew what he was going into. He knew it was going to be tough. It was a despairing time for Jesus. These disciples weren't ready. They were not ready, and he knew that. But he knew the Comforter would come once he had gone. But the despair that's in his heart to see them, they just had so much to learn. Even after 3 years of walking and talking and sleeping and eating with him, they were not ready for what was going to happen. And in our own humanness, we can feel and sense the despair. The times of despair, you know, just over a meal. Jesus broke the bread. He knew it was the last time he would eat and drink with them. And he said, "Lord, I love you. My Father, I need you so much. I bless you." His giving thanks was words like that. It wasn't, "Thank you for this nice room you've given to us, Father." Could have been, but I just sense it was more, "Oh God, I just need you so much. I thank you for standing with me. Although the trials are going to come, I'm going to get through this because of my relationship with you." Jesus gave thanks because he knew who he was and he knew who the Father was. He had a relationship. You know, when we know that there are difficult times ahead, church, it's time to give thanks. When you least want to give thanks, it's time to give thanks. We're on the verge of maybe moving to another building, and we look on it in the physical and we say, "Lord, how can we do this? How can we afford it? How can we do these things?" Yeah. Let's thank him, even before it happens, for where he's taken us to. The people he will bring in. The ministry that will develop in this church as we reach out into the community. Let's start giving him thanks for his provision. You know, as I said before, I think I said it last week, when God created Adam and Eve, he created creation first. The plants, the food, everything was there for them. He didn't throw them in and said, "Sort it out yourselves." He made a way. The provision was already in place. And I believe God's provision is in place, but will we give thanks for that before we see it? Or will we wait till it's in our face and say, "Oh, thank you, God"? We need to change our prayers, folks. I need to change my prayer. So often we can just be up an alleyway saying, oh God, if only, if we could, if you would." Well, he has. Yeah. And he has, and he's done, and everything. And he said, "It's in place, but will you believe me for it? Will you trust me for it?" In times of despair, you know, it's about relationship. It's not about church buildings. It's about relationships with the Father. Jesus gave thanks. He knew there was difficult times ahead. And even when we, as his church, know there are difficult times ahead, he says, church, give thanks to me. John's Gospel, chapter 11. My second point this morning. John, chapter 11. Some precious few verses here. This is where Lazarus had died, and Mary had come to him and said, Lord, if you'd been here sooner, my brother would not have died. Oh, how much despair must be in the Father, in Jesus' his heart. He said, do they still not believe? Have they not seen what I've done? Let's read these verses. Starting at verse 41. Lazarus was wrapped up in bandages and placed in the tomb dead. He's been dead for a little while, 3 days. Similar, isn't it, to Jesus in the tomb. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I want you to remember that phrase. I thank you that you have heard me. And verse 42, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. I want you to remember, as I said, verse 41, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that even in situations of death, there's life. I thank you that even in this totally impossible situation, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you. I thank you that you know me. I thank you that you listen to every prayer that comes from my mouth. And because of that, I have confidence in you. Lazarus, come out. You know, when we are in impossible situations, when situations are hugely desperate in our lives, we pray and the Father hears us. I don't care what your situation is today, if you have a relationship with Jesus, he hears you. You may not get the answer that you want, you may not get the timing you want it, but he hears you. And that's not a cop-out this morning. I say that from experience. From times when I thought that God just wasn't there anymore. And yet, in hindsight and looking back, it's great looking back, isn't it? We can see the outcomes of things. But at the times, I was so angry with God. And yet, he still loved me, and he still loves you today. If your situation is desperate today, the Father hears your prayer. If you don't know him, just say, Lord, come into my heart. That's all you have to say. And suddenly, a change takes place within us. And suddenly this relationship starts to build with him. Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus and gave thanks. And the dead became alive. And he's back a few pages to John 6, verse 11. John 6, 11, the feeding of the 5,000. You know, when our resources are inadequate, we're to give thanks. We haven't got enough money in the bank, we're to give thanks. When we don't know when the next meal is to come from, we're to give thanks. And I think, you know, pretty much we're not in that situation. But maybe one day that situation will come. and we're to give thanks. Maybe we are physically or spiritually hungry today. Start giving thanks to the Father. You know, the disciples and Jesus stood on that hillside with 5,000 men, women, plus women and children. All they had was just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. The supply was inadequate. What did Jesus do? John 6:11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, there it is again, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down likewise, of the fish as much as they wanted. You know, he didn't say, boom, and suddenly a huge block of food appeared. He just kept breaking and giving and breaking and giving and breaking and giving. And church, this is what Jesus is like. As we need, as our needs crop up, he breaks another piece off and he gives it to us. Give thanks. Give thanks, church. Give thanks for what I've done for you. Give thanks for your strength I've given to you. Give thanks for what I've provided for you. Give thanks for these things. In times of despair, in times of desperate situations, in times when resources are not enough to cover, church, we need to start giving thanks. We do not give thanks to the Lord enough. We don't. I know I don't. Start with me this morning. And God's dealing with me in issues in my life. You know. And if this church wants to move on, then we need to be a thanking church, a praising church, a glorified church, a church that is alive and vibrant, a church that is thanking God for what he's done, even in the circumstances, even in the difficulties, even in the stuff. And I'm just like you. We're all the same. Our humanness sometimes gets in the way. And we just don't see his provision. We don't see where it is. Praise God. When our resources are inadequate, will we have the faith to give thanks and to move to where he'd have us to be and trust him for what he wants to give us? I watched that video of David Wilkerson last night, and something happened in my spirit that hadn't happened for a long, 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 long time. You know, he challenged church leaders in America, and through the video he challenged my heart, and he said, serving Jesus comes at a cost. You know, will we give thanks as we walk through that costly experience with him? It's not going to be, no one ever promised us an easy ride. Maybe you want an easy ride. I don't want an easy ride. I want the ride that Jesus has for me, and I want to celebrate all the way through it. David Wilkerson said after in this video, which I think is only 2 weeks old, he said that he'd just come back from Africa where he'd spent time with lots and lots of needy people, and he said, Lord, if in this video he says, Lord, if you take me in Africa, take me amongst the need. Yeah. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it, and it came and came and came, and it was fantastic. I've gone well over my 5 minutes. I'm going to wrap it up. You know, I know Duncan's doing Ephesians at the moment, but when you get home, read Ephesians 2 and read from verses 4 to 10. It tells you about all that he has provided for you. While you were yet a sinner, God provided a way for you. We have verses there, 6 verses 7 verses of it. Can't quite remember. 6 or 7 verses. It tells you what he has done for you. And if you cannot raise a praise of thanks as you read that, then we must be dead from the head down, I tell you. Because it's so precious to read what he's done for us. He didn't wait for us to get ourselves right. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for you and he died for me. Read that and give thanks. And finally, Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. One of Julia's favourite phrases is, it's all about you, Jesus. She says, do it all through him. It's all through him. We come to the Father through him this morning. Phil and Carl, come and lead us around the communion table. Let's give thanks. Really give thanks this morning. We have so much to celebrate, church. He did this for you and he did this for me. Why? So we can just have a good time? Yes, but more than that. He gave it to us so that we could go and do the Great Commission. Go into all the world with a message of salvation. We have opportunity now as a church to move forward. And I pray that we'll do that giving thanks to the Lord. And saying, Father, thank you. We'll look back and we'll say, wow, God, why couldn't we? Why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we trust you in this thing? And I've had to really scold myself this week over doubts. And not doubts about what God can do, but what I could do. You sometimes doubt yourself because the challenge seems too big. You know, God will make a way. Let's make a way for him. Come round his table this morning. Let's go.